borrow your stand?
All right.
Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. That's good. That's good. Thank you. Are you able to hear me? Are you able to hear me? Okay. Very good. Just want to make sure. In my researching for the message this morning, I ran across something that I wanted to share for you in light of the coming election that we're going to be electing a new president. And this struck me, and you bear with me, this is another lengthy read, but it is worth hearing. See if you can't figure out who wrote this. Okay, this is a presidential, I'm out of breath, a presidential proclamation, a presidential proclamation number 118, as a matter of fact. And here we go. The year that is drawing towards a close has been filled with the blessing of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To this bounty, which we so constantly enjoy, that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are so extraordinary in nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the either watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unqualified magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained. Laws have been respected and obeyed, and the harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict, which that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union. Nevertheless, diversions of wealth and of strength and of fields of peace, industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ships. The axe has engaged the borders of our settlements and the mines, as well of iron and coal as of precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, the battlefield, and the country. Rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gift of a most high God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do, therefore, invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last day of November Next, the day of thanksgiving and praise to our benefit, our benevolent Father who dwells in heaven. And I recommend to the whole offering of this aspiration justly due to him for such singular deliverance and blessings. They do also with humble penitence for our national preservation and obedience, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently employ the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and restore it as soon as it may be consistent with the divine purpose to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. That was Proclamation 118, given to us by who? Abraham Lincoln. Now, wouldn't it be nice to have somebody on the ballot this year who had that attitude about the country in which we live? I just thought that was beautiful. And I'm going to write him in on my presidential ballot. Several years ago, I became aware of the fact that I was walking through my Christian life on a daily basis, and I got to the end of my day, and all of a sudden I remember that, well, I had not remembered God's presence, God's goodness. I had not acknowledged him for anything the whole day long. Pretty pathetic, since he is with us all the time. He watches over us all the time. So I tried to think of some way that I could be constantly reminded about his presence in my life. And what I came up with was, and I think I've shared this with you before, was to be thankful. To be thankful. There is so much to be thankful for. We read in the first chapter of Colossians all of the blessings he has blessed us with. We can be thankful for those. But in the mornings when I get up now, I do thank the Lord for another day. I would thank the Lord if I didn't wake up also. That would not be a problem for me. But when I get up and I go into the kitchen and I turn the water on to make the coffee and I say, "Thank you, Lord, I don't have to pull my pump." You know? But I think also, what happens if the water doesn't turn on? What am I going to do with that? Okay, but God's God demonstrates his glory in the heavens above. You know, we can look in the skies, see the stars, see the moon. We're discovering through the new telescope that they sent up into space, the expanse of our universe and the beauty of our universe. And we can give God the glory for that. We'll walk out the door and we see the green fields and trees and the flowers, and, you know, we can be thankful for that. I'm thankful for my car starts, and I'm thankful for the finances he provides for me to pay the bills. There are so much to be thankful for that it's not hard to go through a day and be thankful and remember his presence and his goodness to us. And that has really helped me to remember our Lord and Savior on a regular, on a daily basis. The presence of God. And all through Scripture, He has made His presence known. I'm going to see if I can't find. And oh, I've really messed up now. I've got all kinds of papers. But I want to go to Psalms and just read some Psalms where the psalmist is praising the Lord. You don't have to turn to them. I've written them down, so you just need to listen and focus. In Psalms chapter 7, verse 17, it says, I will give thanks to the Lord according to His righteousness. I will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 35:13. I will give thanks to Thee, thanks in the great congregation. I will praise Thee among a mighty throng. Psalm 75. We give thanks to Thee, O God. We give thanks to Thy name. Is near to man. We declare Thy wondrous works. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing praises to the Lord, ye godly ones, and give thanks to His holy name. And this is my favorite. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His court and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. I think of that psalm often. Give thanks to the Lord. When you enter His gates, give thanks. When you enter His courts, give praise. There's a progression there. You give thanks to God for something or everything, whatever it is, and that kind of turns into praise. Then we praise Him for those things that we are thankful for. And my experience has been, we go from thanks to praise to being in His presence. There's a progression there. And that is what helps me to remember Him on a daily basis, all day long, because there's so much to be thankful for. Even little babies. Yes. So you kind of get the idea of what my message is going to be on this morning. It's on thankfulness. And we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 3. I did a little study on thankfulness and discovered some things that I want to share with you. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 12. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against one another, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful. And be thankful. That is not just an afterthought. Okay? That's just not an add-on to what Paul is saying. Because Paul was constantly giving thanks. And we read that all through Colossians when he wrote this letter to the Colossian church. He wrote this letter to the Colossian church because they were having some difficulties with other philosophies starting to make their way into the church. And so he starts out with the first two chapters of telling the believers there in Colossae all of the benefits that they had received because of their faithfulness and because of their walk with Christ. And we read some of those this morning when I read the scripture. He continues on with those blessings in chapter 2. He is encouraging them in their faith and telling them all of the things that are theirs, all the spiritual blessings that God has given to them as they walk with the Lord. And he wants them to continually walk in that truth that they have learned from Epaphras, who started that church in Colossae. In Colossians 1:3, he says, giving thanks to the Father. In Colossians 2:7, he says, we are rooted, builded up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That word abounding means gushing. It's gushing in thanksgiving. Chapter 3, verse 16, it says, with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. In chapter 3, verse 17, it says, giving thanks to God. In chapter 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful with thanksgiving. And then he goes on in another epistle that he's written in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. He says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17, he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. It is God's will for our lives that we give thanks to him. All of Scripture, theme through all of Scripture, is thanksgiving. Gratefulness to God. Thanksgiving is mentioned 195 times in Scripture, and gratitude is mentioned 157 times in Scripture. It's not a remote thought. Okay? Paul's not saying something new here, but he's adding his voice to the overwhelming call of a spirit of thanksgiving among those who have given their hearts to God. And it's not a casual thank you like we try and teach the kids. You know, thank you, Aunt Sally, for the gift. You know, thank you for dinner. Thank you for the water. But it's a deeply felt gratitude that comes from the heart of the believer. We did foster care for 20 years. And what we found out was about the first 30 days that we had a child in the home, it was just teaching them the basics. How to clean themselves, how to brush their teeth, how to sit at a table and eat dinner using silverware and not your hands. You say please, you say thank you. A lot of them had never had that experience in their lives to the point where they were in foster care. We had a little boy by the name of Kevin who, when we first got teaching him the pleases and thank yous, you know, he walked up to me with a cup, okay? And he took the cup and he handed it to me. And I said to him, what do you say? Well, I'm expecting a please me, I have some water, okay? Because that's what we're working on, okay? And he hands me the cup and I say, what do you say? And he says, fill it up. We kept working on it. There is a direct correlation between a heart full of thankfulness to God for all that he's done for us and in us and through the Lord Jesus Christ and a life that is lived under the lordship of Jesus Christ. People all over the world are very distinct. And people, different cultures, different traditions. Those of you who have traveled are very much aware of this. It's not just like the song we sang in Sunday school, Jesus loves all the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. Okay, there are some distinctions that are all throughout the world, but culture and traditions have a way of distinguishing certain groups of people. When the president goes to another country, he is educated on what those traditions are. You don't shake hands, you bow down. You don't look people in the eyes. You don't, you know, look at them straight on in some traditions. What are some of the other ones? After a meal, you burp. That shows your approval of what you just ate. So you can see very distinctly different cultures and traditions in different parts of the country. Very distinct. Americans, I don't know what the distinctions are, except maybe a baseball cap, sneakers, shorts. We're kind of a hodgepodge, a mixed mess. But I'll tell you that what is a distinct characteristic of those of you who have placed your trust in Jesus Christ, and that distinction is you are thankful. You are thankful people. You're thankful for all of the things that we listed and talked about in the first two chapters of Colossians. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, the great glory of the gospel when it is revealed in the community is revealed in the fact that God made his people different than other people. God's grace made manifest. It should be an obvious distinction in God's people that we are thankful. We are thankful people. The theme, thankfulness is a reoccurring theme in Scripture. We thank God for our salvation because he is the one that brought it about fully. We are the chosen ones. We are holy. We are blameless. We are beyond reproach. We are the people of his own possession. And the glory of the gospel is also the fact that God is doing something in his church that is absolutely different from any other place in the world. God is doing something different in our lives that he's not doing any place else in the world. So what keeps us from being thankful? What keeps us from being thankful? Well, the water didn't go on. Pride probably is number one. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humility is the door that opens up our hearts to thankfulness. We have nothing to be proud of. Everything that we have comes from our Father above. And then there are circumstances of life. Circumstances of life can cause us not to be thankful. When things are going well, it's easy. You know, when we're paying the bills and we're getting along with our relatives, and said the car's working fine, and you know, it's easy to give God thanks. But when we are up against the wind and when we fall, when we fail, when sorrows like sea billows roll, when the storms of life overwhelm us, and we all have had those experiences, all of us have had those experiences, when we become overwhelmed in the storm and the waves break over us. Even when sorrows like sea billows roll. David in Psalm 13, remember, said, how long, Lord, am I going to have to go through this? It happens to all of us. And it happens often in our lives. God's ways are mysterious. Because in all things, always, we are to give thanks. Okay? God's ways are mysterious. But all that he wills and all that he permits is for the good of his adopted family. There's nothing random. There's nothing by chance. You mean to tell me that all of the difficult and the bad circumstances of life we are to be thankful in? Yes. I'm not telling you. The Word is telling you. But I don't feel it. I don't feel thankful. There is no way I am going to feel thankful about these circumstances. The folks that gathered here last evening were here in memory of a lost loved one. How can I be thankful for that? I just don't feel it. Well, Paul says, don't feel it. Believe it. Believe it. And eventually, the feelings will catch up to what you believe. It's a process that we go through. Don't feel it, believe it. We are to be thankful. Paul says in Romans chapter 15 that everything that has been written So that through endurance, okay, and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. All that was written throughout Scripture, through our endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. So we're going to take a look at Scripture and see how we can be thankful in difficult situations. God has given us some examples in Scripture of those who have faced difficult times and what they did and how they came through it, giving thanks. Take Daniel. Daniel taken into captivity. Okay. Eventually he gains position in the government, okay, which he could be thankful for. But then because of those in the government who were scheming against him and wanted to see him ousted, a declaration was declared. The Medes and the Persians had strict rules and there was no deviation. And if you broke the law, that was it. Okay. Well, because of the evil scheming of those in power, a decree was made and Daniel was to be thrown in the den of lions. Hungry lions. They didn't feed him for a couple days. And be torn apart by these lions. When David heard about this, what did he do? Well, he could go home and be thankful for all the blessings that God had given him as ruler or assistant ruler in the country. But after he found out about the decree, it says he went, he kneeled down and gave thanks. Wow. He kneeled down and gave thanks. What about Jonah? In the belly of a fish. Kind of a hopeless situation, don't you think? Think about it. Think about you being in the belly of a fish, okay? The outcome didn't seem very pleasant, okay? But Jonah says, I will give you thanks and give my sacrifices to you. Paul and Silas are thrown into prison. Okay, and they are beaten and shackled and in a dark, dirty, cold, damp dungeon. My daughter, when she went to, it must have been Italy, I'm not sure, actually went to the spot where Paul was imprisoned. It's now like a tea shop or something. But that was the place where that took place. All of a sudden at midnight, things got really exciting. Okay? And here are Paul and Silas singing songs, praising God and giving God thanks. And what about Jesus? Not 24 hours before he was going to the cross, he's with his disciples and he is giving thanks for the bread, which symbolized the body that he would be giving, the life that he would be giving on the cross in less than 24 hours. Jesus, knowing what was going to take place, gave thanks. And he gave thanks for his shed blood. giving thanks in the unbelievable circumstances of life. Well, Paul, in his writing, is no one knows what he's talking about when he says, give thanks. Because that was his M.O. in all throughout Scripture. Whether in all the ups and all the downs, Paul was giving thanks. So in all these individuals that we have just looked at, contentment in each of these individuals' lives was a contentment that seemed to be able to manage the circumstances and the conditions that they were facing in life. But they didn't focus their thanksgiving on the circumstances. They didn't focus their thanksgiving on the circumstances. They didn't see the conditions they were in as an end in themselves, but rather they saw it as being part of the overall purpose of God to bring to completion His good work which He had begun in them. Philippians, be confident. Philippians 1:6, be confident in this. Be confident in this. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. He's working in our lives through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Psalms 135 says, "For I know the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and earth. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are His thoughts and His ways. He does nothing from random or by chance. Everything He does is to restore in us His image. That's His desire. We don't understand it all, but we are to give thanks in all things." He is the God who controls the universe. He also controls the heavens. He is the Father of all who trust in Him and does for us what our earthly fathers cannot do, and that is be with us forever. To be with us forever. He is the Father of creation, but He is not the Heavenly Father. But He is not the Heavenly Father until we trust in Him through Christ. Then we can respond to the Bible as those who trust in Him. Then we can respond in an appropriate way, giving Him thanks for all that He has done for us. When we have placed our trust in Him, we have the privilege of calling Him Heavenly Father. Ger, would you put the thing up on the screen? I'm sure most of you know Corrie Ten Boom. You've heard the story of her, how in Germany during World War II, she and her sister would take in Jews and hide them from the Nazis, because the Nazis were sending them to concentration camps and they were dying by the millions. Well, they got caught, okay? And they were sent to prison camp, and there they spent 3 years of their life. And when they got out, fortunately, Corey would go around to different organizations and tell of her experience there. And what she would do is one of the things she would do is she'd put up that picture. And this is the poem that she wrote that describes this scene. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I do not choose the colors. He works so steadily. Oft times, he weaves in sorrow. And I, in foolish pride, forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle ceases to fly will God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why the dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. You look at the one on the left, that's the way sometimes our life looks, okay? But God is at work, and he's at work in our lives to restore the image of his Son in our lives. He's at work in our lives to create the image on the right. We see our lives, what it looks like on the left. God sees us as complete in him, finished product. Give thanks. Give thanks always in everything unto God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful. Forgive us, Father, for not remembering who it is that has given us life, the very breath that we breathe. Father, the beauty of creation and a salvation, Father, that restores our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and we get to call you Father. We have so much to be thankful for. Help us to make that part of our daily routine as we walk through this life. Remember your presence in ours. Give you our thanks and our praise. We do that in your Son's precious name. Amen.